you would turn to Psalm 119. We're going to look at just verse 105. And also, if you keep your finger there over in the New Testament, if you go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, we're going to kind of look at two verses. And then I want to show you something through this as we continue in this series that we've been in for several weeks. I believe this will be the last part of it in the series that we had, Connecting to God and to Others. I want to talk to you this morning about walking with Jesus. And I didn't say knowing of Jesus. Did you notice? I didn't say knowing of Jesus. I'm saying walking with Jesus and having a relationship with Jesus. I didn't say that I'm going to teach you some religion this morning. And I didn't say that I'm going to give you an insight on Nazarene denomination. I'm talking to you this morning about walking with Jesus. I'm talking about the confidence that we have and can have walking with Jesus. If you remember in this series, as we were talking about connecting to God, and if you didn't get all of those series, here's a plug for the webpage. Go to rosedalenaz.org and you can get caught up on this series, and you can see what's going on. But if you look, the last few weeks we've looked at understanding God, understanding and looking at the Ten Commandments. If you remember, we talked about that the first four commandments are your relationship with God, and the last six are your relationship with others, and you can't get one right without the other. You can't understand who God is in the first and how we need to worship and how we need to approach God. If you don't get that, you're not going to get the last six, which are relational with how we treat others. And if you remember, we talked about that. It's definitely a relationship. It's not about religion. It's about having an active relationship with God. And then one of the weeks we talked about the institution of the church and how the Lord ordained the church to come alongside of us, to prepare us to share the gospel, prepare us to live a victorious life, and prepare us to live the life that God wants. And then in that promise, God says the gates of hell won't prevail against us. That because it's a God-ordained family of God getting together, the body of Christ getting together, God tells us that when we're in the will of God, that the gates of hell won't prevail against us. And today, talking about the confidence of knowing Jesus, not book smart. It's all well and good to understand your commentary. It's understand to be able to share the Word of God, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute, but it's not only book smart. It's talking about having that relationship with God. It's kind of like an illustration where a little boy is walking with his big brother. And he absolutely knows that he is as safe as can be because his big brother is walking with him. That's the kind of relationship that we need to have with the Lord. Understanding that your little hand fits in God's big hand. And that you can walk together and understand that. So like I said, two texts this morning. Philippians 4:13 and Psalm 119, 105. Psalm 119 and 105 says this: Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Would you bow your head with me for a minute? Father, we thank you. And as we just go to your word just for a moment, Father, we're asking that these two texts would come together for us this morning, that we would understand the importance of the Word of God working in our lives, and that we would understand the relationship and powerful relationship we can have with Christ, where Christ strengthens us and leads us and guides us through every part of our day. We thank you for what you're going to do. May your Word be anointed. May your Word touch and minister to each one of us in a special way today. In Jesus' precious name, amen. The key this morning is found between those two verses. See, the Word of God being the light, the Word of God being your pathway, and then understanding in Philippians that your relationship with God, that God can strengthen you, that God can give you the ability to be discipled, be discerning, be living a life that's pleasing to God. Between these two verses, you can have that help for your victorious life. Now let me say this: if the path that you're following is lit up. If you know where you're going and you know who you're walking with, wouldn't that journey be easier? Stop and think about it. Somebody should say amen. If your path is lit up and you know who you're walking with, it's got to be easier. And here's the thing. And if you stumble and somebody's there to pick you up, it's got to be a better day. It's got to be a good day. And if you look, the Bible is God's inspired word, meaning that under the anointing of God, God gave us direction for our lives. The Bible is also trustworthy and reliable. It stood the test of time. It stood all the scientists trying to prove them wrong. In fact, the more they try to prove the Bible wrong, the more they prove it right. Amen. So I say go for it. Go after it. Try to prove God wrong. Test and see that God isn't good. Test and see that everything He said is not going to come to pass. And then you can grab on and understand that the promises of God are true. That unless you understand the promises of God, unless you know the promises of God, you miss what God has. And saying, I don't know, is not a good enough excuse. You've got to know God's Word. You've got to know what God's promises are. You've got to know where to go when you have those moments and you're down and out. You've got to be able to draw up one of those scriptures that give you strength and encouragement when you're having those moments. According to Barner Research, the percentage of people reading their Bibles is increasing. Now, trust me, that's encouraging for me as a pastor. But here's what I'm finding. The longer I pastor and the more people that I come in contact with, that I find that more people are more like the Ethiopian official in Acts chapter 8. And if you remember that story, the Ethiopian is sitting there reading God's Word. Actually, he's reading Isaiah. He's looking in God's Word. And Philip approaches him and he says, do you understand what you're reading? And he says, how can I unless there's someone there to help me? Unless there's somebody there that can tell me the meaning. And that's where I see most people are. It's encouraging that more people are reading their Bible, but I'm more looking at Acts chapter 8 saying God's got to raise up some people that are going to say, do you understand what you're reading? Do you understand the powerfulness of what God is trying to do in your life? And the answer should be yes. That should be your answer this morning. But then on the same set, it should be as the Spirit of God gives me the interpretation. As the Holy Spirit guides me. See, in 2008, Isaac Hayes died. Some of you know who Isaac Hayes is. Isaac Hayes was a soul singer. But along with John Travolta and along with Tom Cruise, Isaac Hayes was also a Scientologist. And if you understand what a Scientologist is, it's a religion that believes that you will be born again into a different body. That you will move up this spiritual ladder to the point of clearing your conscience before God. Clearing your pathway to God. Now that makes a whole lot of sense, don't it? There's only one problem with that. God's Word doesn't say that. God's Word doesn't say, it doesn't come anywhere close to saying that. The Bible doesn't tell us, but if you don't know God's Word, that would be a viable option. But God's Word doesn't say that. Nowhere, not even close. The Word of God is the light and the pathway for our direction. After we know God's Word, after we know God's Word, we can know that those things don't happen. And then I ask this question, where is Jesus in all of this? Where is Jesus in all of this? A holy God doesn't need our help. Let me say that again. A holy God does not need our help in getting to heaven. He has provided the only way. An entrance is provided by Jesus Christ. Jesus is the living way. No more animal sacrifices. Some people say amen to that. You think you have a hard time getting to church? How about doing a sacrifice every once in a while? Jesus is the living way. He, no more animal sacrifices. animal sacrifices covered our sins, but Jesus takes our sins away. And you should say amen there. Jesus is that high priest. Jesus is the one that went to the Holy of the Holies. Jesus is the one that tore the curtain according to the Word of God. Broke that Old Testament relationship where animal sacrifices had to be made. All of that broken the day that Jesus Christ stepped in for each and every one of us so that we could have access into the presence of God. You look and you read the Old Testament, some of the things that are so hard, and you read that and you think, well, God, how could God do something like that? Or how could this really take effect? And you look at that and you see that the worshipers of the Old Testament lived in fear. They were under the law of death, but thank God we are under Jesus Christ. We are under the life of Christ. We are under grace. And allowing us to live that relationship that Christ has for us. The Word of God says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. If you're not reading God's Word, you don't know what God's Word is telling you. You don't know these things. And I kind of drew up, I thought this is a little bit humorous, I kind of drew up, well, what about we could have a no excuse Sunday? I didn't get many amens out of that. But we could have a no-excuse Sunday, and here's kind of how it would look like. We could put cots in the foyer for all of those that say Sunday is their only day to sleep in. We could have lounge chairs available for all of those that say the pews are too hard. We could put helmets and make them available for all the people that say the roof would fall in if they went to church. We could have blankets for the cold and fans for the hot. We could make all of these things available. We could have doctors and nurses on standby for all of those that get sick only on Sunday. This one's my favorite. We could provide hearing aids for those that can't hear the preacher. And we could provide cotton balls for those that can. See, it's not about excuses. It's about reading God's Word. It's about understanding what God wants to happen in our lives and taking God at His Word and jumping into that path that God wants us to have, the path that we know that He lights it and lights our way and provides everything that could have. See, the Word of God, if you don't know the Word of God, God's Word says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. So if you can grab onto that verse, in times where you're reading all these other things, if you can grab on and say, no, my Bible tells me that I am that Christ is the only way to God. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. You can eliminate a whole lot of problem going on in your life that some things are trying to be said. You can understand where He says, I am the bread of the life. I am the great shepherd. I am the light of the world. I am the gate. I'm the way. I am the Son of the living God. I am the resurrection and the life. If you understand these, are able to pull them in. See, it's in here. You're able to grab onto it. Jesus said, I love this. In a very familiar verse, Sunday school teaches it many times. I love this. Jesus says of Lazarus, after He raised him from the dead, take those grave clothes and let him go. I love that. I love that. God's saying, I am the resurrection and life. Get rid of those grave clothes and live the life that God wants you to live. We'll get to amens here shortly. Peter says, it's profound. We taught that not too very long ago. Peter says, He is the Son of the living God. What profound statement. He is the Christ. He is the Son of the living God. John tells us, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my words and believes who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. See, here's the thing. Some people want Jesus just to be a tour director. He doesn't want to be a tour director. He wants to be your Savior. He wants to be active in your life. He wants to have a relationship in your life. Jesus wants to be that bridge between you and God. There's a scripture for that too. That He wants to be that mediator. But if you don't read God's Word, you never know it. And you can't bring it up. See, faith builds us up. And doubt will tear you down. And if you're studying God's Word, God's Word will build you up. If you're fellowshipping with people of like-minded faith and you're digging in and seeking God, it builds you up. Staying out of God's Word tears you down. Listening to everyone else's opinions about how God is and what they think or how God should act tears you down. See, I've never seen heaven, but I know it exists. I've never physically grabbed Jesus' hand and walked, but I walk with Him every day. See what I'm saying? We know these things, but sometimes we need to just grab onto them. The Word of God tells us that we should fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And you can see where I'm going with that. Hebrews 10:19. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is His body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assistance of faith. See, it's much easier to walk with Jesus when you know Jesus. Anybody here come for the first time and you don't know anybody? It's a whole lot easier when you come the second time. It's a whole lot easier once you make a friend. It's a whole lot easier once you learn a name. And it's a whole lot easier walking with Jesus when you begin to have a relationship with Jesus. And you begin to know and you begin to hear and He begins to speak to you and He begins to move and act, be active in your life. There is a confidence that you can have in knowing Jesus. And you know Him through a relationship. The first point, refresher, would be your word is a lamp unto my feet, Lord. Your light is to light up my path. And once you take that and you grab onto it, then you can go into Philippians 4:13 with confidence. I do all these things through Christ who strengthened me. See, your faith is only as good as the object or the person that you put that faith in. Did you get that? That you ought to write that down in your mind. Your faith is only as good as the object or the person that you put your faith in. You can't touch your faith, but you can hold on to your faith. Play on words, but that's the kind of faith that we need. The ability to identify it, the ability to realize that it's real, and that we see the value in it. See, no promises of God can be claimed for your life until you know what the promises are. See, and hear me out. I'm not one of those name it and claim it preachers. I'm not one that you've heard me. If you've been here more than once, you know that I'm saying being a Christian is not easy, but God will be there with you. He'll walk through. But what I am saying is that you can't claim a promise of God if you don't know what that promise is. And you've got to be able to dig into God's Word and understand so that you can stand on God's promises. You can't do all things through Christ until Christ is the one that's strengthening you. See, I love it when I have these arguments sometimes when people say, well, that's just having blind faith. I don't have blind faith. I have faith in the promises of God. I have faith that God's going to do and accomplish every single thing that He said He was going to do. And my faith pushes me. You get this? My faith pushes me. It forces me to move forward. And that's the way each one of us should be. Our faith should push us. If our faith isn't pushing us, maybe we just need to allow God to give us a little bit of a nudge. See, I often think this. Swimmers that don't stay between the lines in races don't win many races, do they? A runner that would keep running back, looking back, and not being disciplined is not going to finish strong. They're going to miss what God has for them. And James tells us, show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. See, your faith and your actions are going to work hand in hand. Darlene, I appreciate the kind words that you said, but God pushes us. God allows us to do things far than our own strength. And you're right, and everybody that said it, I love each and every one of you more than you can ever imagine, but Jesus Christ loves you more. And He cares what's going on in your life. And where man lets you down, God will not fail you. It's much easier to walk with Jesus once you know Jesus. Let me just bring this home. Corey Ten Boom said these words. He says, if you look at the world, you're going to be distressed. If you look in within, you're going to be depressed. But if you look at Christ, you're going to be at rest. There's a big difference. See, our what I'm finding too in the ministries and our leaders would probably back me up on this is the more that you get involved with society, I'm finding out that society wants your help. They want your help at times, but they don't want your counsel. They want the love of the church. But sometimes I'm not sure they want the leader of the church. They want Jesus to step in and they want to find comfort within the church. They want to find comfort in Jesus. But I'm not sure always that they're looking for the direction that Jesus wants them to have. And until those two things come together. See, it's about this. It's where you're putting your eyes. See, Corrie Ten Boom, you know, if you're inside, you're going to get depressed. If you look at other people, you're going to be depressed. If you're looking to man or woman to fit all of those needs, you're going to miss out. But what she's saying is that if you look to Christ, there's such a peace, there's such a rest. I want to walk hand in hand with Jesus. I want to know Jesus more tomorrow than I know Him today. I have confidence that Jesus is going to meet my needs. I have confidence in knowing Jesus. I can exercise my faith because I am in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'll end by saying this. We all want Jesus to hold our hands. I should say amen. We all want Jesus to hold our hands and see us through these hard times. But I want you to know Jesus wants to hold your hand also. And it's kind of like the kid that doesn't want you to grab the hand sometimes. Jesus is trying. And we're doing everything we can not to get a hold of that. So we want Him to hold ours. But He also desires to hold yours. And I'll end with this thought. When it comes to eternity, procrastination is like Russian roulette. Tomorrow is never guaranteed. As much as we want to just say, tomorrow I'm going to do this, next week I'm going to do this, next year we're going to do this. We're not promised tomorrow. We don't know that. We pray that we do. But when it comes to a relationship with the Lord, tomorrow's not a good day. Amen. Tomorrow's not the right day. So I'm going to ask you to just bow your head with me just for a minute. And I'm going to ask you just a simple thought. Where are you at with your relationship with the Lord? Are you struggling? Is the Lord trying to grab your hand and you're saying, not now? Are you struggling with your faith and you're not able to identify it and you're struggling to see the value in it? Then you need to talk to the Lord this morning. And ask Him. Be honest with Him.